Hello, hello. So everybody's got a story. Everybody thinks they're special, but most people can't tell you why, or they're too scared to say it out loud. This show is for the ones who know there is something on their life, a message, a pull, a calling they haven't fully stepped into yet. I am Brandon, and this is Listen, Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. And I'm not here to hype you up. I'm here to get you and keep you honest. And today I'm going to ask a question that I'm going to be asking everybody that most people avoid their entire lives. Tell me why you're special. And my guest today is Rory Paquette. A lot of you that follow me are going to recognize his voice. And we know why he's special, but this is for the people that have not heard about Rory yet. Hello, darling.
Hello, how are you doing today? I appreciate the intro.
Good.
Very nice. All right, so where do you want to start with this? Exactly, how do you want me to dive into this wonderfulness of me speech that you want me to
At the beginning, what is the wonderfulness of you? If
tell?
you run into someone in an elevator and you have to you get to the top floor, and it's a really high building. Like it's gonna take you 20 minutes at least. I would say, like, how would you explain who you are, what makes you special?
Nice. I appreciate that. I think I would start with the real basic stuff, especially since it's a long elevator ride. But I would start with the basic stuff. I'd say, I'm a husband and I'm a father. And to be honest, the thing that makes me special, if there is anything in this world that makes me special, is that I care more about those two things than I do about anything else. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've been fairly successful at those two jobs, and especially the father part. My wife and I came together in a way that we both had the same idea. We both had the same purpose. Everything was going to be about the kids till the kids were grown. Now we didn't make the second part of the plan about how we were going to handle emptiness syndrome. So, that's been a work in progress. But when you spend the first 20 years on this single-minded purpose with each other, then I think everything else does kind of fall into place, and there's really nothing that you can't handle. So I still believe to this day that even with having, I'll have 10 podcasts out by March 1st. I have 46 coaching clients right now. I'm completely self-employed, living my own dream. Even with all of that, the thing that makes me special is that all of that and everything that I do every day is designed to continue being the best father that I can be. And I think that really is the most important part.
Yeah, I love that. At what point, did you step into your calling outside of what it is to be a parent? Like, when did you start the podcast?
Podcast, about 6 years ago, I was doing some public speaking before that. And I owned my own businesses before that. So I've always kind of been a bit of a maverick. I've been out on my own a lot. I've been largely unemployable most of my adult life. I can't work for somebody else very well. It just doesn't work out for me. But about 6 years ago, I started the podcasting part of it. And that really is what launched everything that I have today. And everything I've been able to build in the last, 6 years. I started a little podcast based on this idea that, men had a job to do, that men had to go out there and take responsibility for themselves, that they had to lead their families, and that they had to kind of hold themselves to this high standard. It was revolutionary at the time. People did not like talking about that stuff. They really wanted men to have, man buns and be carrying purses and, wear an eyeliner. They wanted us to have orange hair and be eating Cheetos. It just wasn't really the thing that was going to make sense. So it was kind of a revolutionary act to start that podcast when I did. And I started it as an indie podcaster. I mean, all on my own, in my basement with a blanket hanging behind me to muffle the sound and, whatever cheap mic I found on Amazon, that week that got delivered to me. But I finally made a decision to go in and just speak and just tell my story. And I had been a long time without telling that story. And so I said, look, I'm just going to tell the story and see how it goes. So I grabbed the mic and I just spit it all out. That's episode one of
Yeah.
my very first podcast. It's still there. That's kind of how we got started.
And
And I mean, the rest is
I know the
history.
story. I know the story, but I just want people to see that perspective of you didn't come out of the gates with, I mean, you had struggles. Do you think I guess I want people to see how relatable it is that most of what you struggle with is what is going to set you apart in the game. If you can make your mess your message, if you can take some of the lowest parts or the things that were meant to hurt you or the things that were meant to destroy you, because that is a foundation of what I've been built on. Everything ever meant to destroy me has been the greatest thing in my life. But this is like the third day in a row I'm even saying this. You guys, some of you know, my mom signed a rights off of me when I was 12. I emancipated, which means I like paid my own, I was out of, I emancipated as a ward of state at 15. And my mom used to say this thing to me, I love you, but I don't like you. I love you, but I don't like you. I've heard that since I was a little girl, like ingrained. And after all of this, because that was traumatic for me, right? That set the tone for every relationship in my life. It's why I'm hyper independent. It's why I don't have friends. It's why I don't, why I'm just like in my own little bubble, right? But I look at the situation now, and people have been asking me lately, like, how are you so bold? How are you just so confident? How are you all of the things? It's because I don't care if you like me. And I see that the biggest hurt in my life was priming me to have the biggest voice in my future. This voice is going to be my legacy. This is going to be what people remember me by. Like, she was bold. She spoke the truth. She didn't hesitate. Yeah, because I grew up with heartbreak. I turned my mess into my message. And I think that's what makes me special. And I think that if everybody can just find a point in every story that's going to be shared on this podcast, if they could find that point where they think, man, I'm carrying all of the shame. This is embarrassing for me. It's heartbreaking. It hurts me to talk about it. But like, what if I could flip the script and use it? Use what was meant to destroy you to employ you. So maybe go into a little of, if you don't mind, just kind of the background and how that first episode went.
Sure. I love what you're saying right now. My mess has been my message since before then. But I didn't start talking about it. I did a lot of public speaking, in the world of real estate, for instance, prior to that day of putting out episode one. But putting out that episode one was the first time I really let my story go. I really just opened it up and said, I'm letting this out. I don't care what happens. We'll see. I'll deal with whatever the ramifications are. And my story was rough. Everybody has a rough story, but my mess became my message in a lot of ways. I love that phrase. I'm going to steal it. I'm going to use that a lot. That's great. My mess became my message in a lot of ways because in the lowest points of my life, they were either caused by people that I thought should be taking care of me, or those low points were celebrated by people that I thought were there to, sort of be there for me. When you're at your lowest points, you find out how alone you really are. And I found out exactly how alone I was many times in my life, from, mom getting beat up, having to aggravate dad on purpose when he got drunk so that he'd come beat me up and not her, stuff like that when you're younger. All the way through financial ruin, thanks to a certain president of ours and a gigantic real estate recession that happened in 2008. All sorts of stuff has come and gone throughout my life, and we all have problems. So that does not make me special, having the problems. What does make me special in that area, though, is that with all those problems I've ever had, and no matter how alone I was, I kept getting back up. I've never stayed down. I've never laid down and sucked my thumb and grabbed my blankie and cried. Ever. And no one taught me that. I learned it on my own because that's what you have to do to survive. So I took that and I said, okay, knowing what I know about how you have to be in order to survive, and knowing that all these other men that are out there are going through this exact same thing, that I've been going through for a very long time, how can I take my mess and make it my message? How can I do something for them? And from the beginning, I had men who were going, I can't believe you just said that. That's exactly what's going on with me. Man, I heard that. That's the type of thing that goes on in my life every day. My God, you're so right. I had people I knew from high school who heard some of the stories on my podcast and said, I didn't know you went through that. I had no idea that this was going on. I did an episode on bullying at one point. And because I was bullied horribly when I was younger. People are surprised when they hear me say that because I'm kind of a large guy now. I'm a little scary.
too, but I'm not a large guy, but I was totally the kid that was bullied. So that's amazing.
See, and we're kind of cut from the same cloth. When you've been bullied, then you understand what it feels like to be helpless.
Yeah.
You understand what that you don't ever want to feel that way again. So when you see someone else feeling helpless, it's not tough to have compassion for them, but you also don't pity them. You go, look, what are you going to do about it? Because no one's going to come by and beat up your bully. You have to do that, right? But I did this episode on bullying, and I was like, the entire class of people I graduated with were all like, oh my God, I had no idea this even happened. And I had over 90 DMs on that episode, all saying stuff like that. And from that moment on, we just started to grow. It was like we found a niche. It was telling the truth. It was laying your soul bare. And I think that's something else that makes me a little bit special in the space. I'm not out there trying to hunt and fish and throw axes and, be Mr. Tough Guy. I'm just out there being very real. And I'm out there with very strong principles and no excuses. And some guys love that. And they listen to the podcast. And some guys can't stand that. And they don't because they're not ready.
Right.
So I guess that kind of, again, kind of brings us to where we are.
Yeah. I love that. What with power, okay. Power of Man is a great podcast for you. You're talking about having 10 shows. When do you finalize 10 shows? That's so crazy to me because I don't know.
March 1st.
Yeah, it hurts my brain for you.
Well, two of them are with you.
Oh, well, those don't count
I
then. That's just like social hour.
gonna say two of those are with you. So
Okay.
I'll have eight on my own, two with you.
8 shows. What, tell us about your other shows and how you recognized, because this is the thing, human connection is so important and relatability is everything. And what I know about Rory, you guys, is that he doesn't fake it. Like he's not sitting here from a pedestal, like he has it all figured out. He's a real human. And he's not the Instagram princess, I guess that's what I call people that just try to make it seem like they have it all figured out. He's real and relatable, and I think, that's where your success comes from because people can connect with you, and that's our human experience. We're called to do that. And I think until you start making those human connections, your potential is wasted. Yours is expanding exponentially. So tell us about these other shows.
Okay. In addition to Power of Man, which was the first one, I have another one that's very successful. It's a top 10 podcast now called The Podcaster Nation, where we bring other podcasters on. And, you've been on that show. You were my first guest on that show, which was awesome.
Look, you're my
And
first
I
guest here too.
see, we've kind of learned
Right.
that when we have each other on as our first guests, that
Right.
podcast blows up.
Loads
It
up.
does really well. So we got that one. Then I have one called Wake Up the Lions, where I invite, Christians on to celebrate their faith, share their testimony, and encourage others to do the same and speak out, and stop getting run over. I've got one called Step Up to the Mic. In addition to coaching podcasting and doing a lot of podcasting, I've been a speaker for a very long time and I coach speakers. This is a tool that I use to help coach speakers and also to give new and experienced speakers a chance to come on a stage via a podcast and do their talk uninterrupted. So we introduce them. I disappear from the screen, their talk uninterrupted. I come back on, thank them, a quick Q&A real quick, and then we're done. And that way, speakers who are trying to get their name out there have a little link they can send out to all these party planners and stuff. And it's been working just wonderfully, and it's exploded. So it's a kind of a unique idea. The one after that is called The Right Path, where I talk to authors. And my first guest on that podcast was Brandon Lynette. So talking about her books. And that podcast has honestly exploded. We had 500 downloads on episode one in the first hour
Are
after
you
we launched it.
serious?
The first hour.
How
And when I say those words out loud, I can't even believe it.
that's
I can't
amazing.
even believe it. Now, that's partially because of the platform we've built,
Yeah.
right? That was my fifth active podcast at the time. And partially because it's these people who come on there, these authors who come on there, actually want to share the links
Yeah.
and they actually want to put the word out. So a lot of that is because they're participating
Yeah.
more than any other group of folks, really, in sharing those links. And it's blown up. It's great. So that's five. Right there. Boiling Point, Faith and Fire, you and I. We just started our relationship podcast, right? So then there's that one. That's 6-7. Then I have Real Talk for Realtors, which is out right now with 8 episodes. I canned it a long time ago because I was doing real estate coaching and decided, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. So I just sort of let the podcast off to the side. But every month when it came time to cancel it, so I didn't have to pay for it, I couldn't. Something told me, God was like, don't let go of this yet. This is going to serve a purpose. Hang on to this, right? Well, I just relaunched it and I have 19 guests already that I've done the work for. So we already have all that content. We're going to start releasing it next week. And it's focusing on realtors that are around and what they're doing in their businesses that might be new and fun and everything else. And then those realtors get to take that link and send that to, potential listings and potential buyers. And it's like a huge PR piece for them. So it's huge. Again, that's going great. Then I have, let's see, is that 8? I'm losing track. Can you help me out over here?
I think you're on 9.
Okay. Because there's that one. Then, okay, yeah. Then there's one that I'm starting for restoration and mediation. And that's because there's so much work that's being done in that area of like when you have a fire or a flood or that type of thing.
Oh.
That is an area that I'm servicing businesses. I have several clients. I'm a business consultant for restoration businesses. This is something I did back in the day. And so I understand what goes into it, how you handle fire damage, how you handle flood damage. And I'm talking directly to owners of companies and having them give advice and talk about themselves and highlight what they're doing. And I'm also helping them with their businesses. And I'm setting them up with podcasts for their business so they can talk about their business and feature, their affiliates and that type of thing. So that was all of this led to an avenue where I got to go into doing podcasts for businesses, not just for individuals. That all started with one episode in my basement with a Colts blanket hanging in front of me, staring into a closet, talking about the Power Man.
I love that. I love that. And you, so in the beginning, I want to point this last thing out before we just start to kind of close it up. I haven't even been watching the clock, to be honest. But when you first started, you're talking about how, being a parent and a husband is like your greatest thing. And I think that goes without saying for anybody that really genuinely cares about their family. But you also said, that you have built this life, like your dream life. And so what I want people to see is, or to be able to relate to, number one, you worked your butt off. You're not lucky. Like you cultivated this. But at the same time, I know you're still going through it. You are in the arena and life is handing you curveballs because you're still dealing with life. One of
Right.
those things being now that you're an empty nester. What are some other things that are coming at you that challenge your position that God's using to refine you or to grow you, or what's the thing keeping you up at night?
There is no shortage of spiritual warfare going on in my life, and it's been happening for a very long time. The first thing you have to do when you're trying to build this is you have to accept the fact that you can't do this working 9 to 5 and having quality of life. That doesn't work. If you want to build something like this and you don't want to give up the safety of the other job, right? Then you have to work all your off hours.
Yeah.
You've got a podcast, you've got to do work, you've got to do marketing, you have to do social media for hours and hours and hours. If you work from 8 to 5, well, at 5:30 when you get home, you kiss the wife, grab a plate of food, you go down to the basement, you work for 4 hours, maybe 5. Then you come back up, put the kids to bed, right? Say goodnight to your wife. You go back down there for 2 or 3 more hours. And you do that every day. And when you get that going, then you get it going part time. It gets a little bit more part time. Then all of a sudden, it's starting to look like it could be full time. And then you're actually able to leave your job and do that. But you can't do that while you're going, well, I need my time. I need me time. I need to, go have my days off. No, it doesn't work. You got to be able to make the sacrifice for it. Okay. But now the issue is that when you finally give yourself permission, and it took me a near-death experience. I should have been dead. I should not be here talking to you. But that day when all that happened to me, and we can go into that later, something else, but hey, listen to any of my podcasts, folks, you'll hear all about it. But I stopped breathing basically and had to have a huge surgery, and the surgery should have killed me. The condition should have killed me. I managed to come through all of it. No idea how. God was not done with me yet. And so here I am. It took that for me to say, it's time. Okay, it'll be a little bit of a pay cut, but I got to do just this. I got to go embrace this life. And Brandon, every single day, I get attacked. My pride gets attacked. My confidence gets attacked. My security, my game plan of the future gets blown up. Someone who says, "Oh yeah, I'd love to do this. I'll send you the money tomorrow," and then they disappear, right? And they don't buy something. We've all been through it as entrepreneurs, but every day I have a huge spiritual attack on every single thing that I'm trying to do, going, is this enough? Is this safe? Should I back off? Should I give it all up? Should I go back and just get a job, working hourly over at Meijer or, Martin's or something? And, I could bag groceries. I mean, hey, I'm an old guy. They'll let me bag groceries and feel sorry for me. Somebody might even tip me once in a while if I take the bag out to the car. Right? Every day you get hit with that. So anybody who thinks that this is easy, anybody who thinks, hey, I'm just gonna, do this and it's all gonna work out, and oh, here I'm gonna be with this Instagram lifestyle, right? With my Maserati in the driveway and all that. No, nonsense. Okay? Period. Nonsense. It's not the way it works. It's a lot of no sleeping. It's a lot of late nights. It's a lot of feeling like garbage because you're trying to feel better later. And there's what is that saying?
Talking about my life right now, I don't know.
I know we both go through this, right? But there's that saying that says you have to live like nobody else would
Oh, yeah.
so that you can live like nobody else could. Something like that. I think that's it. You have to do things that you didn't think you're capable of doing and that most people won't do. And when you do that, you get to have that life that most people can't have because they weren't willing to do the other stuff in the beginning.
When I feel like everything is kind of heavy and I feel like it's too much, I ask myself this question. So I'm actually going to ask you this question. If the platform disappeared tomorrow, no likes, no downloads, no money, no recognition, what part of what you're doing would you still feel convicted to obey because God asked you to, not because it worked?
Wow, that's a great question. I would say building up others, to be honest with you. All of my podcasts have a purpose. In every single podcast, I make it a point to build up the people that are on my show. Whether you wrote a book, whether you have a podcast, whether you're, a father or a husband, or you're trying to help those guys. On Wake Up the Lions, I talk to everyday moms and dads. Regular people of faith. And the idea there is to wake up the lions and say, hey, your faith is important. Don't let anybody tell you it's not. I coached kids when I was younger, my kids and all their buddies. Every single thing I've done my whole life has been to lift up others. And that's going back to my mess. That's what I never got. I never got lifted up. I never had anybody tell me I had value. And I end podcasts. Power Man, first one. When I end it, the ending is it's because you matter. It's because you have value. And I make sure that I say that out loud. I think making sure that everyone else that I come in contact with understands that they have value, that they're worth it, is something that's on my heart. And I'm just going to find some other way to do that. Maybe if it all blew up tomorrow and I had to go do it in person. If I had to go stand on a corner and maybe try to record myself and just build a following that way, building community, making sure people understand their value and bringing people up, rising people up, raising people up. I really think that that at the heart of it all is my calling. And this is just a way to do it.
I love that. Well, here's the thing, you guys, that I want you to know. Potential doesn't grow in your head. It grows when you say it out loud, when you let it be tested, when you let it be refined, and sometimes when it's lovingly wrecked. You do not lack calling. You don't lack calling. And what Rory is saying is that you matter. You have a voice. You are special. I want to build up your confidence in being able to tell people why. The world needs to know you. The world needs to know Rory. I'm happy that you shared everything. I'm super grateful that you came on here. And absolutely, I mean, I remember recording with you when you were sick before all that went down, and I could not believe you sat through that whole recording. Like, you are just, you're an icon. You're definitely my hero. I'm happy to call you my friend. I love working with you. I love what you're doing in the world. I'm just in awe of everything you juggle. I think it's beautiful. And I want you guys to understand that right now it's really just a little lack of courage. And this is a very safe space here with me. I know I'm kind of scary, but I do want you to feel brave enough to come out here and be able to speak about real life stuff and what makes you special, because you do matter. You do matter, and that's really what this space is for. So if this episode is, lighting your soul on fire, do a few things for me. First of all, find Rory on Facebook, get resourced, okay? Type in his name on Spotify and you're going to see 1,000 podcasts come up. Please get plugged into those, okay? And then make sure you subscribe to this show. And it's not because I need numbers, but it's because I want you to have a reminder to stop shrinking what God put on your life. And second, I want you to start working on your elevator pitch, not a polished, stuffy script that you're going to read to me. I don't want the corporate version. I want the honest one. What you do, who you're for, and why you believe it matters. And if you're ready, if you think you have the confidence, or you want to build it, you want to flex the muscle, come sit in the hot seat. Come say it out loud. Let it be tested and let it sharpen you. Okay? Links are in the show notes. If you're called, if you feel it, if you're ready, you'll show up. Thank you so much, Rory.
Thanks for having me.